Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. You did it. You got up, you yawned, you stretched, you got out of bed, and now you made one of the best decisions you're going to make this whole day. And that is, you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And as you heard Josh say, and as he says every Sunday morning, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So who is that? That is you. That's your parents. That's your kids, right? We're all intertwined in the workforce one way or another. I don't know a whole lot of trust fund people that have all this money that they don't need any income, right? All of us need to work, or we worked, or we will work. So you're in the workforce, and this show is dedicated to you. And in this show, we do a few things. We give you advice, career advice, that'll help you to be more effective and productive in your careers. We tell you, or I usually tell you, where I've made mistakes, where I've stumbled, or maybe I've taken a left in my career where I should have taken a right. I make mistakes and I tell you about them. Why do I tell you about them? Because I also tell you what I should have done and what I did the next time I was faced with the same career issue. I tell you the right way. And I hope that you'll avoid the pitfalls, or you'll stay on that right path in your career, and you'll be more successful than perhaps I was at different times in my career. And each week, I introduce you to my guests who are just some of Jacksonville's most influential people. I love having entrepreneurs that have an exciting story, that have been on a career journey, and they represent some of the greatest companies that are so innovative. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, today is no different. I have a great guest, and I'm going to introduce you to him in just a minute. But first, as I do every Sunday morning, I tell you a little story. And if you follow me, and I recommend that you do, I'm not just Pete the Job Guy, I'm Pete Langlois, and I run staffing companies, and I have for over 20 years right here in North Florida. And I dispense career advice, and if you go to Pete Langlois, find me on, let's say, LinkedIn. I put out a lot of information on social media, little small quippets or tidbits of career advice, again, that will help you. And one that I put out, I guess on, let's see, Wednesday or Thursday of this past week, was all about making a favorable impression on people. Now, think about this. Let's say you're the hard worker at your office or wherever your work location is. You come in early. Nobody really notices. You stay late. Nobody really notices. You work harder and you're more productive, perhaps, than the person next to you. But maybe that person's more popular than you, or your work goes unnoticed. I tell you, don't abandon that philosophy. Continue to come in early, stay late, and work harder. Outpace the person next to you. Be that person, right, that is always moving at a pace that other people are either unwilling or unable to sustain. That's what gets you ahead. You will eventually get noticed. Trust me, I'm an old guy, and I've been through this a lot. And I've been in the workforce for a lot of years. And I'm telling you, it's those people that always continue to make a favorable impression on their customers, their coworkers, their boss. Those are the ones that eventually succeed. And the other people that don't notice you or maybe hold you back, you outlast them. Right? The last thing you can do is get a little bit beat up and say, I'm just doing this for naught. Right? And then you change and you start coming in later like everybody else and just doing enough to get by like everybody else. Well, what happens eventually is people are going to see you skating or being a slacker, as we call them in Massachusetts. They're going to notice that you're not working hard. And that person sitting next to you might be a hiring manager a little further in your career, and you go to get a job with that person, and they remember you because you made an impression upon them. And that impression wasn't a favorable one. You did enough to get by. That's not you. You're a hard worker, just like me. That's why you listen to the show, because you want to do better, and you want to do more for yourself and for your family, perhaps. Whatever your why is in life, so to speak. But just remember, impressions are important. And what you do each day, what you choose to do, what you choose not to do, is a conscious thought. And I'm telling you, make that favorable impression. All right, hard workers, I told you I got to get a great guest with me this week. And let me introduce my guest. My guest today is Jeremy Vaughn. And Jeremy is the co-founder and CEO of TuroSeer. And we're going to learn a lot about that company today. TuroSeer, and I pardon my pronunciation, I say Sia, but it's Seer, is the world's leading product-centric risk management platform. And for those of you that are in the know, that's a PCRM. And it unites high-performing cloud-native teams to collaborate and proactively take the right actions to successfully build secure, continuously compliant, and trusted products. Now, Jeremy, welcome to Hard Worker Repeat the Job Guy.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
Good. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us. Now, I read that introduction, and I'm a little bit tech savvy, but not real tech savvy. Tell us about your organization. Pronounce it properly, because I'm not awesome with that stuff. And give us a little more color as to what you do.
It's TuroSeer. And so the way we came up with the name is, cybersecurity is a very reactive by nature industry. And so a lot of the tools out there are reactive. And so Taurus naturally just came out of take risk by the horns. And so we're more of a proactive tool, more for your internal operations and your developers and IT staff to be able to take care of those security risks and compliance risks in real time before they go out to the market or deployed in that software. And so Seer comes from supernatural insight. So put the two together and you have TuroSeer.
Outstanding. And right now, I mean, given all the things that's going on in the cyber world right now, this is great time, and especially be on the proactive side of it. How did you get into it? What's your primary driver for doing this?
So the genesis actually is a personal story. Late last year, December, my daughter's a type 1 diabetic. And if anybody knows type 1, it's a life-altering, life-threatening, never-ending math problem. And you know, we're constantly calculating numbers. We try to get devices and things to help improve our quality of life and manage those things, right? And so last December, I'm showing you the constant glucose monitor right now. It's a mobile application, and it became obsolete in December of last year. And just through a little bit of research, I went to the store, Google and iTunes store, and found out that, you know, the development team is not keeping up with the technology, the operating system of the mobile apps or the mobile platform is mm-hmm. updating, and the mobile application technology is not keeping pace with those things. And so things just break over time. And so it actually led to my daughter waking up in the middle of the night at a 47 blood sugar and saving herself. She quote unquote juiced herself, woke us up in the middle of the night, and it was very scary. And so just a little bit of research, and I said, hey, this problem has to be solved. And, I have to give insight to developers and IT staff to be able to handle these things more in a real-time fashion.
Wow. You know, I love the personal story that really, really kind of sets the stage as to why, because you can't have a near miss with these things. And if the application and the platform, if it's failing, wow. I mean, there are so many risks associated with that. And, you know, JDRF is something I support here locally. Pete the Job Guy, real proud that we're going to sponsor the bar again this year at the Kings and Queens event. That's October 17th, 19th. Do you know when it is?
I don't remember, but I just saw it come out, and we are excited to participate as well. We've been going every single year since she's been diagnosed.
Yeah, outstanding. And, you know, I had the folks from, I had Casey Repass. You might know Casey
Repass.
I know you know Brooks Biagini. Everybody knows Brooks. But Casey, when she tells a story about how Robinson, her daughter, had type 1D, drinking so much water. They used to make fun of it, like she's the camel. She told the story. Without getting too deep, like, how did you come to that understanding that your daughter had it?
Very similar. It was actually a misdiagnosis. She had symptoms of the flu, and we were sent home with Benadryl and Pedialyte, which is full of sugar, and we actually, as parents, put our daughter into what's called ketoacidosis. And sent us emergency room.
That's
hunting.
Not unlike what happens yes. to a lot of people. There's initially a misdiagnosis.
Absolutely. And I mentor a lot of new fathers that are diagnosed with their kids. And so I was just meeting a guy the other night, and he was having a really hard time, you know, because he also had a very similar story, and it's scary, you know, and it's, you feel a little guilt that you didn't know, or you didn't know what questions to ask and things like that. So.
Right. Well, how does Torah Seer impact other businesses, you know, this platform?
Yeah. So it's really like how we say continuous compliance. You know, I think compliance has ultimately, it's scary, right? And so why it's scary and why people, you know, are scared of it is, you know, a lot of times people aren't ready for the audit. And so what we're saying is, if we can keep you what we're calling audit ready all the time, the compliance measures are there to keep, you know, organizations safe, to keep consumers safe, to keep patients safe. And so we're saying, if we can help you become audit ready all the time in continuous compliance, that makes it ultimately a safer environment, and people and consumers and patients can trust your products. And that's really what we're trying to aim for. And so that's really how we help customers. And what we're doing is, you talk about workforce. We're also teaching the people, the staff, the developers in the trenches, what security means, what risk means. And we're delivering those insights and those compliance specifications so they can become subject matter experts themselves without having to go do all the work and studying and all that kind of stuff. They're getting the in-the-moment learning
right.
and education.
Love it. And, you know, Pete, the job guy, the show, is a big proponent of STEM education, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, as you are as well, too. I know that.
Absolutely.
So I heard that this chief information security officer in a box, CISO in a box, what's that all about?
So that is pretty much what I described. It was, you know, the people in the trenches that are, you know, they need that education on what does security mean? What does this compliance requirement mean? And why does it matter? And so it's giving those people those insights in real time so that the chief security officer doesn't necessarily have to be standing over their head and guiding them. The platform actually guides them so they can actually make informed decisions right now without having to go to the security team.
Love it. So who is the target audience for this? Who would be a good client for you?
So we're heavily invested in healthcare, obviously, because we're passionate about it. So your health plans, insurance, your any organization that is a health IT provider, medical device, and then of course finance is a big target for us. But we're really passionate because ultimately, if we can protect lives through something that we're doing, the team is really rallied up against that. So it's that's our why, right? So.
Got it. All right. Right now is a good time. We're going to take a real quick break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
All right. That was a great commercial from somebody that I deeply respect. Josh laughs every time I say about that. You guys know Angie Staffing. That's a great company. And my wife is Angie Langlois, and she is the president of Angie Staffing. All right, Jeremy, let's get right back to it. Torah Seer. Okay. What is integrated risk management?
So, There's a trend in the marketplace right now that we're seeing, and it's really driven by the adoption of software. Everything's going software driven, software defined, and there's a lot of archaic tools out there that aren't integrated. And so, when you say what's integrated, we're trying to tap into all the tools that the people are using, developers, DevOps, IT staff, and give them an approach that they can actually take in a piece of information or a data point or insight and be able to act on it immediately. So act on it right now. And so your more traditional measures are more reactive. And so back to the proactiveness an integrated approach to risk management gives the people a very informed way to make decisions right now when it matters.
Got it. Is your company, when you hire people, because you've been a leader for a long time, when you are going to add staff or anytime you do, what kind of characteristics or traits do you look for people that you want on your team?
Other leaders. I look for people that like to solve big, challenging problems. They take a proactive measure to a solution. And, you know, instead of complaining about something, they want to solve something, right? And so, you know, I tend to surround myself with very smart people. More smart people than myself. So, you know, really smart, intelligent people, and just people that have initiative, right. And, you know, can have autonomy and make good decisions. And so, I have worked with a lot of technologists and, you know, I love working with engineers and designers and those type of people because they're creative, but they also solve problems themselves. And it's a fantastic culture to create.
You know, what's interesting is I hear that from leaders now when I say what it goes beyond just, you know, hey, I want people that fit a job description that have these technical skills. It's you want people that figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the coach of the Patriots to Bill Belichick? He always says, do your job. You know, people want people that are going to do their job, be reliable, but also that aren't afraid to say, there's a better way to do this, or, you know, that kind of entrepreneurial mindset where I'm thinking outside the box.
100%. Yeah. Yes. And so, you know, you never want to be not challenged. Right. And so I actually appreciate when a partner or an employee says, I think you're thinking about that wrong. Let's try it this way, or let's experiment that way. You're absolutely right. Those are the most beneficial relationships because they're going to be the ones that challenge the business to get better.
Right.
And that's what we need.
Good leaders aren't afraid to surround themselves with people that are better, faster, and smarter than them. If you hire, and I want all leaders to hear this, if you hire with the sense of self-preservation, whereas, you know, I have to be the one, I'm the keeper of all knowledge, and I'm the guy that sits at the top of the mountain with the long white beard that everybody always has to go to me because I'm all powerful. If you come across as that person, or if you make hiring decisions because someone might be better, faster, and smarter than you, and you don't hire that person, shame on you, because you can't move up unless the people around you escalate you and help you to be better and think outside the box. I love hearing you say that. I bet when you were 12 years old, you didn't say, hey, you know what? I want to be the CEO, and I want to found an innovative software product that's going to help people. You probably didn't, you know. You know, tell us a little bit about your career journey and maybe what you wanted to do when you were younger.
Yeah, no, that's actually a good observation. And, you know, when you go back and look at history and track back your time, you always look at it, how did I get here, right? And so I came from a poor family. And so back when I was 12, I made my money through lawn care, right? And so I always had that entrepreneurial thing. And so I tend to look at myself as a risk taker. And when I see a pattern or a trend in the market, that's when I tend to make a jump and learn to recognize those trends and do that, right? And so how I got here is, what's funny is I listened to my parents when I was in college. And
you were that person?
I was, yeah. And, you know, I would say I spent 10 years in finance when I knew I should have been a creative technologist type and, you know, did the finance degree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 2008, 2009 happened. And so right about that time, the smartphone came out, right? And so I had been friends with a couple engineers. And I said, hey, this is going to change the world, and we need to take advantage of this somehow. And so we opened up an application development shop and just started going, and it became a really successful thing. And you know, you can see my path on LinkedIn, and there's been a couple other software development shops. And over time, it's just, you just follow the journey. You kind of just like let life happen, and you know, take those calculated risks, but don't try to control it too much.
Right, right. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, because like I say, your career is like a journey. You know, it's not a destination. We go in a lot of different paths, but when you get to a certain level of success, and you look back and say, I'm the sum total of my life's experiences.
That's right.
I can't go back and retool things, although I might have wanted to avoid a pitfall or two. I'm the sum total of all those experiences, so I'm going to take the bad with the good because I like where I'm at right now.
That's right.
I hear that with a lot of folks. Tell us a little bit more about your organization and some of the other things that it does.
So we're focused on, putting in place proactive measures. We're helping customers in a very cost-effective way adopt security architecture and advising them on, taking open source versus commercial technologies and integrating them into their platforms. And so there's a little bit of advisory role that we take. And so, it's product plus a little bit of advisory. And, our whole goal is to enable people to be able to adopt compliance-centric but risk-based type of thinking in their organization. And be able to take advantage of compliance as a competitor, a competitive differentiator.
Got it.
Yep.
So what, if people want more information about your organization or to get in touch with you, let's get some information out there.
So you can do torusear.com, hello@torusear.com, and I'm on LinkedIn, easily findable, and I will connect and have conversation. I love helping out other entrepreneurs, other executives. Very open and love to connect with people.
Okay. And on LinkedIn, it's Jeremy Vaughn. Your spelling's a little different on the last name. V-A-U-G-H-A-N.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So make sure. And one last question I want to ask, and now we're going to turn back the time just a little bit. And you go back to your 19-year-old self, and you have an opportunity to say to young Jeremy, I want to give you this bit of advice right now. This is going to help you. What advice would you give your 19-year-old self?
Follow your gut.
What do you mean by that?
Follow your gut and trust yourself earlier. And so I guess a lot of times I didn't have the confidence to make a decision that I should have earlier. And a lot of times it lasted a year or two than it should have. And so, your gut is telling you, right, that whole time, like, do something about this, make this decision, go this direction. So have more confidence and trust your gut.
All right. Jeremy Vaughn with Torusear. I don't know why I'm wrestling so hard with that. It's not all that hard.
It was purposely done that way.
Yeah, that's good. Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming out with us this Sunday morning. Have a great rest of the week. And thank you for being on Hard Work and Repeat the Job Guy.
Thank you so much.
Wow, wasn't that great having Jeremy right here with us? Guys, you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, and this show, as I told you at the top of the hour, is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. We give you tips to help you to be more effective and productive, and my guests also share information that will benefit you. Listen to what Jeremy said. I mean, he gave you great career advice, tells you the types of people he's looking for, even spoke about his own career journey, which almost all my guests aren't afraid to kind of, they're an open book, and they know our careers are a journey, not a destination. And we've done a lot of different things in our lives to get to where we are right now. Folks, you know I'm Pete the Job Guy, but my name is Pete Langlois, and I'm a staffing executive. I'm a recruiter. I'm a headhunter. I fill tough-to-fill jobs in all of North Florida. If I can help you find that great employee that maybe you've posted a few ads and they're letting you down, or you're not able to find the great talent, the qualified talent that's out there, and you can't find it fast enough, just reach out to me. You can go to Pete the Job Guy. You can email PeteTheJobGuy.com. Email me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com, and I'm happy to help out. And that music right there tells us that we're coming to the bottom of the hour break. Come back with us and join us on the second half hour. And you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV. Do the hustle. Welcome back, all you hard workers. If you missed the first part of the show, shame on you. What are you doing? You got to get up earlier. Set your alarm if you need to. It's worth it, right? You get up just a little bit earlier, and then what do? You get your coffee, you sit down, you relax, and you put this show on real easy. Why? Because this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. And as I say every week, that's you, folks. This is you, your parents, your kids. This show is designed to help you because we're all in the workforce, or we've been in the workforce, or we're going to join the workforce at some point. And the tips and career advice that I give you and that my guests share with you help you to be more effective and productive and help you to stay on the right path in your career. And Jeremy gave us some good information. Again, if you missed the first part, that's okay. All right. You can always go to PeteTheJobGuy.com and click on the episodes tab. And once you click on the episodes tab, what you can do is just, you know, you can say, okay, here's the one from last week. Oh yeah, here's Jeremy Vaughn. He was the co-founder and CEO of Torusseer, and I really want to learn more. I'm going to click on that and listen to the message that he said. Or you can go back and look at all the guests that I've had. They're all kind of episode 1, 2, 3, 4, and I've been doing this for quite a while now, and I really do have some of Jacksonville's most influential people as my guests on the show. At the beginning of the show, in my monologue, I talked about how important it is to leave a favorable impression on all the people that you work with, right? And I say, you know what, guys? You show up early every day. Nobody notices. You stay later every day. Nobody notices. You work harder and outpace the people next to you. And, you know, you do it for a while and maybe nobody notices. You can get frustrated, and then you can be like everybody else, you know, showing up late here and there or leaving a little early or just doing enough to get by like all the B and C players that are out there. I tell you, if you're an A-plus player, you keep it up. Don't get discouraged because you haven't been noticed yet. You're leaving an impression on people, and the impression you want to leave always in the workforce is that you're reliable, that you work hard, that you move at a pace that others are unwilling or unable to move at, and you will outpace them, and you will be recognized. And if you ever start feeling like, oh, I'm just going to be one of the humdrum C-level people, don't do it. Don't do it. Get after it every day. You will be recognized. You will be rewarded. And later on in life, because, you know, again, our careers are a journey, not a destination. The person sitting right next to you might leave and go found a company, might go work as a hiring manager at another company. And you might be sitting across from that person being interviewed one day. And that person might recall you as being status quo or being, you know, a C plus or C, C minus player that didn't always give the max effort, and they're not going to hire you. You know, you always need to give it your best effort and be a hard worker. And I haven't said it for a while, but I think you all know the origin of hard worker, right? That's what my show is called, because the biggest compliment you could give somebody in the town that I grew up in, which is Tewksbury, Massachusetts, wasn't like, oh, that Pete, he's the best looking or he's the richest or the smartest kid. No, the best compliment you could give anybody where I grew up in Tewksbury, Massachusetts was that, Peter. He's a hard worker. He outpaces. He's a hard worker. That was a great compliment. And I took that to heart. And I think a lot of us kind of blue-collar kids did. We took that with us. Wow, if that's the best I can be, is to be a real hard worker, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to apply that for the rest of my life, no matter what I do. And I've been fortunate that I've been successful. And it's not because I'm the smartest. I can guarantee you that. There's two people in this room right now, me and our producer, Josh, and I would never be the smartest person in the room with Josh in here. But even with our guests and I'm not a really smart guy. I've just been fortunate to apply myself with a level of consistency that others perhaps haven't. I make sure that I'm prepared for my day. I have a plan, and I limit my distractions. Do you guys know that the number one distraction that most workers have right now is their phone? Because it's not just a phone, it's a camera. And not only a camera, it's what we used to have are these photo albums. It's got photo albums to look through. Aren't those fun to look through? And then it's an entertainment system. I get these memes or mems or whatever the heck you call them. And look what she sent me. It's funny. It makes me laugh. And not only that, but I can communicate via text, via, you know, a Snapchat, you know, all this social media. Wait a second. It's not only that, it's an encyclopedia. I'm going to look this up it is everything all rolled into one thing. And for the workforce in America, it represents over 60% of our day is committed to checking our device. Think about the numbers. You're giving a max 40% effort because the other 60% is glued to your handheld device. Okay. So when I tell you I have a plan, I stick to my plan. Part of my day is I cannot be connected to my phone. And the people that are near and dear to me know that during specific hours, don't call me during this time unless it's an emergency. And that I will take the call if it's an emergency. And I know if they call me during that time that it is an emergency and I would take it. But that's what you got to, you got to limit the distractions, have a plan, and move at a pace that others are unwilling or unable to move at. That is how you succeed. That's how you're the hard worker. And that is how you get to be the best version of yourself in the career, in the workforce space that you can be. All right, this next part of the show is one of my favorite parts. Each week, we get a leadership lesson from Coach Larry. And Coach Larry helps managers to become more effective leaders. Leaders. And there's a big difference between being a manager and a leader. And Larry dials in. Larry creates customized programs for his audience. He's been doing it for a long while. He is the chief learning officer of Mendoza and O'Brien. You can go to mendozaandobrien.com. And without any further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
We had a request about how to manage intergenerational teams. Thank you so much for submitting this request. Here's a fun fact. For the first time in history, we have five generations in the workplace. You got your traditionalists, my mom and dad, your boomers, your Xers, that's me. You got your millennials and your Gen Zers. There is even a micro generation called Xillennials, who are sandwiched between Generation X and millennials. Millennials span 15 years of time. Gen Xers span 20 years and boomers span 18 years. So there has to be some differences in communication, in values, work ethic, right? So I got curious. I did some research on the Google and I found that there are over 8 million websites that cover the topic managing intergenerational teams. This is a hot topic. Exciting. I found one of the largest staffing agencies did some research on this and they break it down this way. Warning, sarcasm begins now. When it comes to communication style, baby boomers tend to be more reserved. Of course they are. They're old, so of course they'd be reserved. Gen Xers favor control and command style. Well, of course, now they're more senior in the organizations, and they need to manage the work. They are the ones that get things done. Millennials prefer a more collaborative approach to communication. Well, of course, they grew up with the internets and Facebook. In school, they worked as teams, and everyone got a trophy. Generation Z prefer in-person interactions. Okay, I don't know much about them, but maybe the pendulum is swinging back from casting a wide net for Gen X to now maybe having more trusted relationships. Now, it could be that there are some tendencies in these generations that span decades and have millions of people included in the group. But could it be that we as humans like to put things into boxes so that we can better get our heads around something? Well, that's more likely. I'm of a younger generation than my mom, obviously. But she was doing online banking well before me. She was on WhatsApp, Facebook, Insta, Twitter, and more. I do LinkedIn, and that's about it. Also, I work with millennials, but I'm the one who wants a better work-life balance, whereas we're told that millennials work to live and Gen X live to work. So here's where I stand, if you haven't guessed already. Putting people into these boxes could be interesting, but it's dangerous. You have a greater chance of alienating someone on your team because you assume something about them because of the generation to which they belong. So tip number one, when working with different generations, is to check your biases. Do you assume that someone who is young doesn't know what they're talking about because they have too little experience? Do you assume that someone older than you is too set in their ways or too cautious? Do you tend to confide or have better relationships with people who are in your same generation? Then you have some work to do. Get curious about your biases when it comes to age. As a matter of fact, you can take the Harvard's implicit bias test on age by going to implicit.harvard.edu. It's free and all generations like free, but apparently the traditionalist generation likes it more than the others. Tip number two is the platinum rule. Treat them like they want to be treated, not how you want to be treated. Sound difficult? You mean I need to know about everyone's preferences? Yes, at least the people who report to you. How do they like to be communicated with? How do they like to be managed? How do they like recognition and rewards? How do they like to work? And what do they like and not like about work? I remember one of my directs would come in after 9 a.m. I was there at 7 a.m. I thought she wasn't motivated. I left at 5 because I had two young kids at home. I assumed she left soon after me. Turns out she rarely left before 7 p.m. What made it okay for me to leave at 5? Because I had kids? Her kids were out of the house, so I judged her and had some biases around her. At the end of the day, she was an extremely dedicated employee who liked to spend time with her husband in the mornings. So we, as a team, did the best we could not to meet before 9:30 a.m. Finally, you are one person on the team. It takes a whole team to appreciate what is unique about each individual and what you all have in common. I recommend quarterly meetings so that everyone can connect as human beings. When we see people as people and not as objects or something to be manipulated, then we work better together. When we see that we have some things in common, like having kids and not having kids, or the love of 80s goth music, then we grow closer. So take the time every quarter to make the time for people to learn more about each other on the team. So how do you connect as a team? Let us know. Connect with me via LinkedIn or go to my website, MendozaAndO'Brien.com, and keep your recommendations and questions coming.
All right, another gem from Coach Larry. And, you know, I want you to see that Coach Larry is responsive. If you have a topic that you'd like to see addressed on this show by Coach Larry, you can send it right to me if you want at Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Let me say that email address one more time. Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. That's my email address. You can send it to me. You can go to my website. It's real easy too. PeteTheJobGuy.com. Or you can just go to MendozaAndO'Brien.com and engage Larry directly. Larry is committed to giving us important leadership lessons, but more so than that, he wants to hear from you. He wants to make sure the show is tailor-made to your specific leadership needs. If you're wrestling with a difficult situation at work, if you want, you need a question answered, you want to learn how to do something different, maybe I want to delegate better, or learn how to be more inclusive in my working relationships, or, you know, how to give an effective presentation, whatever it is, Coach Larry is here to coach and to guide you through it and to help you. So make sure you reach out. And I strongly endorse Coach Larry O'Brien. He is freaking awesome, okay? In all of his programs, he delivers in both English and Spanish. He's fully bilingual. All right. So let's see. I got a bunch more to go today. You know what? It's a good time to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
Great commercial from Angie at Angie Staffing. Guys, if you need staffing assistance, that's one person that I would call right there. You can reach out to Angie. She said 904-703-8880. And Josh is flagging me down. Oh, arms are flapping up and down. What you got, Josh?
Yeah, I noticed that there's this mailbag question that I don't know if I just didn't see it in the bag last time, but it's been sitting here for a long time, and I want to make sure you get to it because we don't always have this expert Pete around.
Josh, you know sometimes if they sit in the mailbag, it's because I'm avoiding it.
Oh, and now you're going to bring it up?
I'm only kidding. What do you got?
Yeah, this one comes to us from Vicky in Nocatee. And she had a question that actually I've been curious about, too, is she said she was a server all through college and she just now got into the beginning of her career out of the restaurant business. But she wants to know if she should include her work history and include that restaurant experience, too. And if so, how detailed should she be? How many skills do you have from working in a restaurant?
You know, this is pretty good. Who was this again?
Vicky and Nocatee.
Okay, Vicky and Nocatee. You know, this is a question that I get quite often because a lot of people had, you know, listen, you're going to college full time, but, you know, how are you going to pay all your bills? Not everybody's working on a scholarship or borrowed hundreds and thousands of dollars. Some people are self-funding or you need some money or you need side money, right? So a lot of people that are in college, they get a, you know, some people call it a side hustle, but, you know, for these, it's money. It's actual money. So they were waiters, waitresses. Some people, like in the off season, they do, you know, it's something when they come home for the summer, whatever it is. The answer to that is yes. Yes, you should include it. And I'll tell you, as a prospective employer, I love seeing a job tenure, you know, a year or more at a restaurant. Why? Because that's challenging work a lot of times. You're dealing with the public. You're dealing with people that, you know, hey, let's face it, not everybody's always appreciative and happy and rosy and shows you the best version of themselves. Sometimes it's tough. You know, you're dealing with customer service, you're handling money, you're working on presentation skills. There's a lot of different things. You're working, you know, reliability and showing that you can show up for these complicated shifts. You're also, you know, you got probably a full-time schedule at school, and then you're working as well. So, you're able to juggle multiple things. You know, you're task-oriented. So, yes, you include that experience. Now, the level of detail with it, sometimes you don't have to get, you know, too crazy. You know, back in the day, there were these things called full-service gas stations, and people pumped gas. Like, you didn't go up to a self-service and, you know, pump your own gas. That was crazy. You know, you had to have a service attendant that would pump your gas for you. But, you know, talking about resumes, people would get cute on their resume and call themselves I'm a petroleum engineer. You know, that's what I'm engineering the petroleum. It's going into the car, and I deal with complex monetary issues. What? The guy said I want $10 a regular unleaded or something at the time. You know, so, you know, don't get cute with it is what I'm saying as a waiter or waitress. But I do think you should include that. Josh, I know you have food service experience.
I did, all through college, yeah, all through high school and college.
Yeah,
I was able to graduate college debt-free thanks to working in the food business for 11 years.
Working for 11 years.
Let's
be realistic. And did you move up?
Yeah. Yep. You went from the server, like a busboy, to a cashier, to a server, to a bartender, pretty much whatever you wanted to do.
That shows gumption, stick-to-itiveness. It shows that, you know, your performance was recognized. You moved into a leadership role. I mean, all those things sing a song. And let's say, you know, in whatever specialty you have, if you and another person have the same amount of experience, like all things created equal, then I look, well, this guy also had 11 years in food service with the same company moving up. Holy cow. You know, who am I going to pick? This guy's a safer bet. So you would get that job over the other person, at least get the look from a resume standpoint over the other person. At least that's me as a prospective employer. I would encourage that you include that. So I'm glad that Vicky out in Nocatee wrote in. If you have a question or concern, or you have a workforce related issue that you'd like some help or some guidance, and you'd like to use me as the person to give it to you, because gosh, there's no shortage of people in life that are going to give you advice. Everybody wants to tell you what to do, but you make sure you get your advice from an expert, a career expert, especially if it's career related, and that's me. I've been a boss to over 400 people at the same time. I ran 37 branch offices. I was the chief operating officer for over 9 years for a large staffing company, a national one. When I give career advice, I do it from a platform of experience, okay? So listen to me. This next part of my show is one of my favorite parts. This is where we get our Boston update from Boston Danny. Boston loves to brag. Boston Danny loves to brag about his sports teams. He loves to tell us about the weather in Boston. And the best reason I can say as to why Boston Danny does that every week, it's because I love it. And it's my show. And it makes me laugh. And he's hilarious. Boston Danny also does shout outs. So if you have a birthday, an anniversary, or some occasion that's important to you or a loved one, and you'd like to be recognized live on the radio by Boston Danny, he's happy to give a wicked piss-a shout-out like only Boston Danny can. So go to PeteTheJobGuy.com, fill out the little form, and we'll make sure that Boston Danny gives you a shout-out, a proper one. With no further ado, let's get our Boston update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Boston update. So up around here, it's been getting, you know, a little bit cooler. you know, fall's here, we know that. The trees are starting to change their leaves, the colors are starting to come out, really beautiful. If you haven't been up here for that, folks, that's definitely worth the trip. But last weekend, I was down in your neck of the woods again. I was down in Clearwater, St. Pete's Beach. We had a blast down there. We were doing some swimming. We went to a couple Red Sox games. You know, Tampa Bay, you know, they handed it to us, but, you know, we were trying this year. This year isn't our year, so hopefully you guys can maybe celebrate a little bit, too. We enjoy spreading it around. But we did some fishing. Very, very impressive. It was fun. I had a good time. Hot, very hot, but what are you going to do? You know, I wasn't too used to it, but when I got home, you know, we got this phenomenon up here. We call it Indian summer. It's kind of the last gasp of summer where all of a sudden it'll start getting hot. You know, the wind will change on us and we'll start getting hot and humid again. And all of a sudden it's 90 degrees and hot again. Everyone's back on the beach and we're having a good time. So I go from, you know, clear water, I get home, and then, you know, I'm back on the beach up here. So we're doing okay. Cheryl and I, we got an anniversary coming up, 33 years. Couldn't be happier. We're going out to the Berkshires. That's out in Western Mass. It's out in the mountain areas. You know, it's the Appalachian Mountains. They're older mountains, but they're still beautiful. Great place to go visit to see the leaves change. So if you get a chance, come on up here. There's a lot to do. We have Shaker Villages. We have Norman Rockwell, you know, did all his work up there. It's just really pretty. If you have a chance, come on up. Love Tampa Bay. We even got to go to the Buccaneers pep rally. We had 10,000 people on the beach one night. It was pandemonium. They had Billy Ray Cyrus up on stage for a free concert. It was just a lot of fun. Met a lot of nice people. Got my accent ragged on a bunch, but what do I care? I'm from Boston. I can't do it any better. So, again, I got all your birthday shout-outs. Keep sending them in, folks. I love doing them. So I want to wish a wicked piss of birthday to Carrie Banksdale. And Lindsay Morgan and Susan Pratt. Remember, folks, do it for yourself if nobody else will do it. It's your day. Susan Eaton, Kim Sessions, Mark Robles, Jamie Michaud, make them birthday wishes. They'll come through for you, folks. Just make them. And I want to give a very special happy birthday to my friend Brian Cherry on reaching the half century mark. You know, that's why we're down in Florida. We were, you know, cluing him into some of the stuff, like why he's forgetting things, you know, why he can't see so good anymore. So it's all good. It's all good, folks. Peter, love your show. Keep it going. All the great advice that happens. And brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, enjoy your Sunday, and I hope everything's well. Thank you.
Oh, Boston Danny, I love you, man. I love you. I wish you were down here in Florida, but if you were, you wouldn't be Boston Danny anymore, would you? People tease me all the time, tell me I have a Southern accent now. You know, I've been, you know, every time I go home, they're like, oh, you have such a Southern accent. I don't know. I'm not hearing it, but I know my accent is nowhere as strong as what it used to be, like Boston Danny's. All right. I want to thank my guest today, Jeremy Vaughn, co-founder and CEO of Toraseer. And I'm going to spell that because my accent, I can't pronounce everything correctly all the time, but Taurusia is like Taurus, T-A-U-R-U-S-E-E-R, Seer. The first part of Taurus and the second part is Seer, so Taurusia. And we heard about some of the wonderful and innovative things Jeremy's company is doing. I highly recommend you reach out to Jeremy Vaughn, link in with them, and get to know him a little bit better. Guys, that music tells us that the show's over. Thank you for spending your Sunday morning with me on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.